You're listening to the Connecting Industry Podcast, brought to you by Resource Industry Media. You can find out more about the resource and construction industry, including how to communicate consciously with your stakeholders, at resourceindustrymedia.com.au.
Welcome to the Connecting Industry Podcast, brought to you by Resource Industry Media. I'm Kieran Moran, Managing Director of Resource Industry Media. The Connecting Industry Podcast series is designed to tell the stories of the people who work in the resource and construction sector throughout Queensland and Australia. It's our goal for these podcasts to not only keep you up to date with the latest resource and construction news, information and procurement opportunities, but most importantly, build relationships between you and our guests so you can connect with their stories and get a better understanding of how to communicate and tell your business story right. On this week's Connecting Industry Podcast, we have Peter Jones, the chairman of the Australasian High Pressure Water Jetting Association, or AusJet for short, which is a peak national industry services body with members across Australia and internationally. Formed initially as a response to injuries sustained in the water jetting industry, AusJet exists to strengthen safety standards for business and industry working in the water jetting, drain cleaning, vacuum loading and hydro evacuation industries. Peter has more than 20 years of management experience in the service industry and moved into the industrial service industry in 2004 and is currently the business manager at Core Equipment Solutions in WA, South Australia and the Northern Territory. Welcome, Peter, to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Peter, let's before we get into the Australasian High Pressure Water Jetting Association, which is a bit of a mouthful, but before we go there, let's move into how did you get into the industry? Where did you start working?
Well, I was a plumber by trade, so that's where I started. And as a result of that, I ended up in a building services company where we managed Ministry of Housing properties across Victoria. We had about a quarter of the state with the business I was working for. And within that role, I managed a team of plumbers, builders, painters, all sorts of trades. And during that time, we used to use a company called Barry Brothers out of Victoria for high pressure water jetting of stormwater drains and sewer mains on blockages that we couldn't get with our regular equipment. And that was my introduction to the industry that I now work in. Post my plumbing days, I then ended up as a manager at Barry Brothers, funnily enough. And from there, just evolved, and it's taken me all around the country and to be honest, around the world in some instances.
Well, to move from being a plumber, I suppose, and into this sector of the industry, what's one of your main interests? What drove you over to it?
It's a fairly dynamic industry, and you get to a lot of experiences that other people don't get to see, a lot of places that other people don't get to see, and you're reacting in most instances to customers' needs and helping the customer. So it's very challenging and also very, very rewarding to be given a problem that you need to solve for a customer. And I suppose that's the biggest driver for most people within the industry is that customer service side of things and fixing people's problems, because that's what we do within the industrial services sector now.
Give us an example of one of those customers that you solved a problem for. What's one of those examples, you know, maybe one of the bigger ones that you can remember that stands out for you?
Oh, well, look, I'm going back a fair way here, but there was the Burnley Tunnel fire years ago in Melbourne, where there was an accident within the tunnel, which shut the tunnel. And obviously there was a bit of disaster management that was gone into there, and over a 40-hour period we cleaned the tunnel and also got rid of excess water that was coming in over a 40-hour period and worked around the clock to get that issue resolved. So they're some of the types of things.
Okay, then. So the Australasian High Pressure Water Jetting Association, and as I said in relation to, it's a little bit of a mouthful, but it's AusJet for short for people out there as well. And as I said, it's also the peak body across Australia and also internationally. So give us a little bit of a rundown about that. How long have you been involved in it, and give us a little bit of explanation about the association.
Right. Well, the AusJet, the Australasian High Pressure Water Jetting Association, it was formed, as you said, in response to some incidents within the industry. It was formed to improve safety and training across the industry as a result of some injuries. Now, high pressure water jetting, in the scope of what we do, is anything from your smaller industrial units right up to 40,000 PSI. So it's got a wide scope, and it incorporates drain cleaners and the pumps on hydro excavation units as well. So it's a broad breadth there. So we concentrate on improving safety and developing training as the industry develops as well. We also are the custodian of AS 4233, the Australian Standards for High Pressure Water Jetting. We were instrumental, or we actually initiated the original one in 1999, and then subsequently the review in 2013. So we're almost a custodian of safety and training within the industry, and our long-term goal is to, you know, make sure that we keep improving safety and the training, and that we don't see incidents, and everyone goes home safe.
Yes, and that's one of the main things. I also let people know that AusJet also incorporates the Australasian Drain Cleaning and Vacuum Association as well, or ADCVA for short, but at the same time, that hasn't got the same beautiful sound as AusJet. But let's go back to then, built in relation to, or created in relation to, some of the incidences that were happening out there, and just let us know of some of those that were happening then and are happening now, because I expect that the pressure is getting stronger and stronger in relation to some of the equipment that's being used, and also the public with what they use.
Yeah, a lot of people don't understand the danger of high pressure water. The biggest danger with high pressure water at the higher pressures is water injection. Now, if you do get a water injection cut, that it actually injects water into your bloodstream, which, if it goes around your body, then can cause death. So, and it can also cause microbiological diseases. So it really needs to be dealt with seriously, and you need medical attention for any water injection, no matter what the pressure. You should see a doctor. The other risk with high pressure water on the drain cleaning side is the power of the water and being struck by ejecting objects or a hose fitting that bursts. And there has been deaths across both high pressure water jetting and drain cleaning within Australasia in terms of one water injection. The last death in 2008, and which was a cut across the chest, and with drain cleaning, where there was a death about 6 years ago in Fiji due to a failed hose. So it is dangerous. You know, you can be killed, and that's the message that we need to get across. And I think we've lost a bit of that within industry along the way as more and more water is being used. I don't think the realisation is really there within the newer people coming through industry. I don't think they understand it enough. It's something that will kill you, and it needs to be treated with respect. And we've got a bit more work to do within the industry to get that message out there. A bit more, I think.
So what sort of work are you doing in relation to trying to get the message out there? I'm also aware, if I get this right as well, that you also do sit on the Australian Standards, Safety Standards as well. You sit on one of the committees there, do you?
Yeah, correct. So I suppose the most important way to get the message across is through training. And we've recently, with IBSA, gone through a project where we have made changes to the training packages that are available to industry, and one of the key objectives of that was to make sure that we have a level of operator that is competent and understands the risks. Now to achieve that, we had a bit of a battle, but we were able to achieve it, that that there's a lead in to being an operator, which is generally called an assistant. So we've got two high pressure water jetting units there, use high pressure water jetting equipment and operate high pressure water jetting equipment. And some of the criteria now is that use has to be a prerequisite to operate, and that within that you must have 120 hours of tool time after completing your use high pressure water jetting to become an operator of high pressure water jetting, which is an important step that is now mandated. So we're making sure that people have got sufficient knowledge and skills at a practical level rather than just a theoretical level by completing a course.
I would suspect that one of the issues is, of course, so it's industrial services. So from major industrial sites, I could imagine, and then all the way down to, in a way, you'd have council drainage and so forth, but even with the mum and dad businesses as well. So some of the big companies out there, of course, you'll just know some of those big companies and then down to the small companies. But to the point of where I'd imagine that it's quite hard to get through to a lot of the smaller companies working out there, because a lot of them aren't working on the big sites where safety is a main concern.
Look, there is a lot of those businesses out there, and we do try to reach out to them. It's, I suppose, for those small organisations being part of an association, not all the time they see value in being a part of an association. Most of our members who are suppliers supply a lot of water jetting equipment into all facets of industry, including those smaller businesses. And our members are really good at communicating those messages as well, and making sure that they, cover their due diligence in terms of what they need to do to communicate what the risks are. And most of our members that supply equipment provide training and instruction as well, and if they don't, then they will let the customers know that they need further training and instruction under AS4233, and we'll point them in the right direction. So we're pretty good at doing that. We've also, in the last 2 years, we have made an effort to get ourselves out there a bit more through social media and our engagement around that. And we are seeing some growth within the association across the board, from drain cleaners to hydro excavation companies to smaller mum and dad businesses, as you call them. So we are making inroads there. Our membership's grown steadily over the last couple of years, but we're hoping to grow that even more and get more awareness out there of the dangers of high pressure water and also vacuum. Because vacuum can also be dangerous, and that's why it falls under our umbrella as well, because generally using vacuum in conjunction with high pressure water, and industrial vacuum has very high velocity and can a risk as well. So,
in relation to how important the industry is, I did notice that so when I do speak on this podcast, and I haven't mentioned it for a while now, and even though we're still going up and down with COVID, but how businesses got through COVID, but I have recognised that the industry got through COVID quite well, because it is seen as an essential service.
It's essential service, it really is, and it's also critical, not just through infrastructure, as you just mentioned there, Kieran, but also in mining and resources. If it's not clean and it's blocked up, it doesn't work. So we play an important part in keeping manufacturing going, keeping mining going, keeping infrastructure going by reacting to problems, as I said earlier, and fixing those problems for our customers, ensuring that productivity continues, and that your sewer runs and your toilet works and all those other things that we rely upon in day-to-day life.
Okay, and how do you also, so one of the core services, of course, for AusJet is to highlight safety, so, to strengthen safety standards for business and industry working in the sector. How do you manage to achieve that? And teaching companies to, create a safe workplace, which is one of your core services I see on the website, and also developing a safety culture. How do you get that through to, not just your members, but industry, the wider industry?
Well, I suppose it's through the engagement of both our members and the wider industry now through our social media, which is really pivotal to getting that message out there. You know, and we've engaged more on LinkedIn, and we've gone in the last 2 years from probably 30 followers, you know, up to an excess of 600, and that continues to grow. So that has been probably one of our keys in terms of getting that message out to the broader community. We have also planned a conference, AusJet 22, which will be in Melbourne in March 2022, where we'll have exhibitors exhibiting, and that will have a focus around safety and the safe use of equipment. We're attending No Gig this year as well to promote the association and water pressure safety, or the safety of high pressure water at that event as well. So we're getting out in the community as much as we can, and we're also engaging on social media as much as we can to get that message out there. We have also lobbied with ministers in all states during COVID in terms of us being essential services, and also during the process of having the training packages reviewed. There was a fair bit of lobbying with government that we had to do on that side of things to get those changes through, because there was some pushback on the 120 hours that we wanted to mandate, that we had to lobby fairly hard to get that to completion and accepted across all states.
Now, you did mention AusJet 22, which I was going to get onto, so I'm glad you did mention it, actually. But so AusJet 22, that is, I don't think there's really been anything like it in Australia before. So it's a conference and exhibition on the whole industry. And as I can see, I think on the website, you've got a number of exhibitors and some major companies as well. And tell us a little bit more about AusJet 22.
Yeah, so AusJet, many years ago, did run a similar conference, but it didn't entail live demonstrations to the extent that we're doing with AusJet 22. And there is no other show in Australia that for high pressure water jetting and vacuum loading and drain cleaning, where you can actually go and see a live demonstration of equipment, you know, in that sort of environment. And during the conference, we'll also have guest speakers where the focus will be on safety and innovation throughout the industry and you know, innovation to make things safer for the guy on the end of the tooling.
So that is something completely different. So that's in March 22, and I do believe that you actually had to cancel the first one. It used to be AusJet 21, but now AusJet 22.
Well, like a lot of things in 2020 and 2021 with COVID, you know, things have had to juggle around, but we did make the decision in January of this year to delay from March 2021 to 2022 to allow more time for the vaccine to come through so that we can run the event without any restrictions. So we think we've given ourselves enough time for that. We're pretty confident by March 2022 that we'll have an open event, and we can move forward without any restrictions. It's important. It's our first event with expertise events where we'll run a conference every 2 years, and this is the first one. It's important that we get as many people through the door as possible and make it a success, which gives us a launching pad for the next term. There's been a lot of interest in it, and leading up to our announcement that we were postponing, the interest has even got greater. So we look forward to AusJet 22 in March, and there'll be more news coming out about that, including delegate packages and that in the next couple of months.
And just going back to yourself, Peter, and I said in the introduction that your core equipment solutions you currently work with, and you're the WA South Australia and Northern Territory Business Manager. What sort of work do you do in there?
I suppose I started my life in industrial services as a contractor and did probably 17 years in management. I did Greenfields business development here in WA after moving from Victoria. And after that period of time, and also being a plumber on call, I've been on call for a total of about 30 years. So I've now moved into the selling the equipment that all the contractors use, and I'm with Core Equipment Solutions, and we are the distributor of Capital Auto products within Australia. Great product, drain cleaners, vacuum units, really big range. Capital Auto made vacuum units and drain cleaning units in Europe for over 60 years, so it's a tried and true product both in Europe and here in Australia for over 10 years. And we've also just recently become a distributor of Swartz sweepers in Australia as well. So so that's going to keep us pretty busy. In my current role with Core, I look after basically sales and operations for WASANNT, and look after the customers, any product, faults, parts, and all sales. So sort of all encompassing role at the moment. There's a fair bit of growth within Core, getting bigger and bigger, and we're expanding our base of units across the country. So we'll have some more people popping up around the place for sure over the next couple of years.
Well, it's good to hear that you are doing exactly what you enjoy with it in relation to providing customers a service and solutions, of course, and also, you know, working for Core and some of the work that you do there, and you're still strongly involved in the industry.
One of the key things with what I do now is because I've actually been a contractor, I can relate to what the customer's needs are very well. Because I've been there and I understand the pressures that they're under. So I treat myself with that, you know, put myself in their shoes and deliver that service the same way as I'd expect it delivered.
Okay, Peter, we're, believe it or not, at the end of the podcast. It goes very quickly. And in regards to AusJet, I do hope that AusJet 22, that's at the Melbourne Showgrounds in March, I think 30th and 31st next year, of course. But how can people maybe get in contact with AusJet?
If they go through, the best way to do that is to go through the website, which is ausjetinc.com.au, and just follow the links to the conference on the front page there. There's also on the website, you will find a number for our phone number for our administrator. She can field any questions, but there's also information on expertise events, who the event organizer, and you can contact Gary Fitzroy and his team at expertise events for further information as well.
And for those listening out there who also want to become a member, go on to ausjetinc.com.au, have a look at the membership and the benefits that you do get. But thank you very much, Peter, for joining us today.
Thanks very much, Kieran. Enjoyed it.
You've been listening to the Connecting Industry Podcast interview series with Kieran Moran from Resource Industry Media. To find out more about the resource and construction industry, including past podcasts, news and events, go to resourceindustrymedia.com.au.